Yeshua. Yeshua, we glorify your name forever. Release your glory on these people. Release your presence. I declare an open heaven over these people that you have called, you have chosen, you have ordained, you have picked, hand-picked, you picked. That didn't come from man, that came from you, sir. And you have brought them in, I see you pulling them in, almost like pulling them in like a hug. And I saw weariness fleeing away. And I saw some that have had a long, hard road with lots of bumps in it. And I saw Jesus scoop you up in, as in his, the palm of his hand, like the size of a tiny little kitten. His hand is so big. And some people are so used to working, you know, working it out. But I saw someone that doesn't know how to rest in God finally give in and just lay their little head down in the palm of his hand to rest, to receive and to let him do what he does best, to restore and to heal and to breathe life. And I saw him just lean over and breathe life into a person. Just breathe life. Sometimes we just need a little life breathed back into us. For some of you, he is saying it is a new day. It's a new season and a new time. Not just for those in this room, but I am strongly sensing that the season has shifted. We've crossed some kind of mark in the road of time. I don't fully understand it, but I know by the Spirit. We've entered a season of newness of life. We've entered a season. I just can't get away from an open heaven. I just can't get away. He's been teaching me about it, talking to me about it. And I'm going to share some things about it. But last night we began to experience an open heaven. It was a more openness. He's going to show us some things today about entering that heaven, which he actually already has opened. And he already did it. Thank you, Lord. There's some of you here that you've never been able to let go of your past. And I saw your past slipping right out of your hands today. And he said, for that person or persons, your past will no longer own you. Shame will no longer own you. Regret will no longer own you. Regret will not fill your heart. You're going to be set free. I saw these cords tied to the past. What if I'd have maybe done this? What if I'd have done that better? And the Lord said, enough. 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 I love you and I've set you free. Serve me today. For today. Because I have a future. And it won't be denied because you think your past is so great. Or so terrible. Or so big. No. That's over. And he says, when I call a new day, it's a new day. When I say it's new, it's new. And this is going to sound a little rough. Get over it. I have to speak prophetically what he gives me. There's some of you in here who have suffered some, almost like a deadness in your heart. You love the Lord with everything you've got. You're here because you love him. You're here because you love him with all your heart. I believe it is most likely that everyone in here is born again, which means in your spirit man, you've been created in the very image of Jesus. There is a perfection in you, a holiness in you. And yet in our flesh, our soulish man, our emotions, there's been dings and dents and bumps and bruises, stabs with the sword of the enemy. And that can cause the emotional part of us to go through a whole gamut of things. I was dead for a long time on the inside, though alive to God, moving in the spirit, seeing people healed, walking in the stuff. But very few people knew that on the inside, my life had been wounded so bad. You know, when you're wounded so bad, first it's painful, then maybe you have grief, maybe anger, maybe bitterness, maybe even anger at God. Those are all normal human reactions, by the way. We are fallen, you know, the flesh side of us I'm talking about. And then eventually, if it goes on too long, a dream that's broken or hope deferred, enough decades go by, and what happens is you start to shut down and close down that part of your heart. Because it's too hard to keep caring and carrying the pain. And so somewhere in us, we may eventually make a decision. I can't do that anymore. I'm not going to hope for that anymore. I'm just going to figure that maybe I missed it. Maybe it wasn't God. Maybe that dream's never going to come to pass. I'm just going to die to that. And a little piece of our heart shuts down and goes numb. And then people begin to say things like, you know, I used to feel the presence. I can't feel it anymore. I used to hear His voice, but I don't hear it anymore. Or they might even say, God doesn't talk to me anymore. But the truth is, He never stopped talking nor loving you. But we shut down, and our emotions, listen to me, cannot discern between shutting down to humans and shutting down to God. There's just a door shut, that's it. And today God is helping us to make some quality choices to reopen the door to God. Doesn't mean we're necessarily going to open every door to man, right? Because man, you know, we're faulty, aren't we? We don't always get it right. Not asking you to open your door to me or trust me or any human. I'm asking you to go with the flow. You may not understand some of the processes we do today. I wouldn't have understood it 30 years ago. But, you know, God raised me from the dead. I was a goner. Half alive. Loved Him with all my heart. But a broken dream and a whole bunch of wounds took their toll. And so I walked with a big limp. God set Lori over here. We never used to talk. She'd come to prayer meeting, never say a peep. And what I didn't know was that Lori could see in the spirit. And Lori knew all this stuff about me that nobody knew. Even Edgar didn't know. Nobody knew. And she began to pray and pray. And some others came and they began to pray and pray. I wasn't going to share this, but one night there was a terrible snowstorm. And I really didn't know Lori. I didn't know her at all. And I'm sharing this for a reason, though. The snowstorm was so bad, I didn't think it was safe for her to drive all the way home to Wisconsin. So it was about midnight. We were at a prayer meeting, a whole gang load of us. Most of the people lived close, but I said, listen, you know, Edgar and I don't mind if you need to crash at our house and then drive in the morning. That's fine. Well, I didn't know it was a God setup. And when we got to my house, we started talking. And I think we talked till 4 or 5 in the morning, and Lori told me the story of my life. I'm telling you that because some of what we share today may come through me. It may come through Lori. Don't look at her and go, just she's the sound man. No. She's a minister from the Lord that sees in the Spirit. And her giftings are a little bit different than mine. And our goal, God has given me the goal to raise up 1 million people that can do everything that I do. As well as I do it, and better. So, There's a couple things we're going to do today. One of the things that God has shown me about today, I said this earlier, but God called this meeting and I did not. And he showed me that a lot of his people are limping a little bit. Some are wounded, some are hurting, some are just numb. Some accepted, you know, it was just too many years of difficulty and just finally said, okay, well, maybe I blew it. It's probably my fault. Maybe it's never going to come to pass. But God is doing a thing in our midst. And he showed me a picture. First he began to teach me that the heaven is open. And it has been open from the day the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. He never shut it again. And whether we know it or not, he did that for all humanity. Not all of humanity will go. Not all of humanity will choose. But heaven has been open from that time since. And you say, well, why don't I encounter open heaven? I'm telling you, it's because our veil has not been torn from top to bottom. Yes, we're born again, but these wounds, he showed me, if you remember in the old days, the best thing it looked like was circular things with these ties, like leather cords, tying them together like an old-fashioned corset. Bound. And over the years, one thing I learned was that we cry out to God and say, heal me on the inside, God. But when we've made a choice not to open a certain area because it's too painful, God himself will not force the lock. So it's a quandary. We say, God, come and heal this broken part of my heart, but it's locked and shut and buried, and I ain't bringing it up. You just handle it, God. Well, God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he gave choice to us and will not override our choices. So I'm going to try to give an example, and I want you to stop me today. I tend to go too fast or assume people know. If I say something and you don't get it, yell out, you know, if my eyes are shut, holly, hey, come and hit me. I want to make sure people understand what I'm saying. When God first started teaching me this concept, I had problems until I was in my 30s. I was very sick, and I won't go into the whole story. But God revealed to me, he said, you made an inner vow. And I was like, no, I didn't. Nope. I had no recollection, no comprehension of what he was talking about. And he instantly went, took me back to 5 years old. My dad yelled at me for crying. He said, why do you have to be so sensitive all the time? Little girl, right? Crying. Inner vow. And I didn't say it out loud. Doesn't have to be spoken out loud. I said, okay, I'll never let him see me cry. I'll never let people see me cry. That's not okay. Dad doesn't like that. That must be wrong. Whoosh, mask. That choice made me close up, wore a mask for years. How you doing? Great. Got it. I'm strong. In our family, we're strong. We don't do weakness. It's a lie, right? I began to get sick because stored up emotions are toxic. They're toxic. So, Lord, I repent in the name of Jesus. I said, I'm sorry. And, you know, that I could go into a long story of all the impact. It messed with my identity. Some of you have assumed an identity that the enemy tried to pin on you. And, sweetie, it's not your identity. God wants to reveal who you really are. And I'm going to tell you who you really are is your born-again spirit. And if you could see the magnificence of your born-again spirit... Our outer man, sure, we have faults, you bet. All of us. In our flesh dwells no good thing. But in your spirit, man, do you know that you house the glory of the Lord Jesus? If you're born again. If you're born again, you have the kingdom of heaven living on the inside of you. And the problem is we don't know it. So we have taken on an identity that the enemy sometimes stuck on us. You're a bad person. You're a loser. You're not smart. Come on. Well, that may have been true before you were born again, but I beg to differ now. I don't care what your IQ is in the flesh. You have the mind of Christ. You have, the Bible says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You say, well, how do I know all things? You got the mind of Christ living in you. I don't know how to do anything, but I know how to lean in and say, psst, how do I do this? What do I do now? I don't even understand this, Lord. It's called the grace of God, the ability of God to do and see and understand and know stuff we couldn't know. Some of you had an identity pinned on you when you were a little kid. Some of you were belittled or told things that are just, you know, God bless your parents, we love and honor them, but sometimes parents, you know, are messed up themselves. And they speak things, or teachers, or friends. And we take on, you know, because sometimes we believe them. Here's the problem. Sometimes a wound hits, we quickly say, protect it. Throw up the wall, whatever that wall might be a mask, might be just a protective, okay, I'm not doing that, not going there. Attached to that, listen to me, a lie of the enemy comes. We believe it because we're wounded. Then attached to that, sometimes a demon comes and attaches. Now, he's not in your spirit. He doesn't own you. He can't, doesn't possess you. Don't get all up in arms. But I'll tell you the truth. Christians sometimes do need a little deliverance. One man said it's like they're in your space, so don't get all funny about your doctrine. But I will tell you, I have had deliverance. And I'll tell you, when you're set free from something, you're never the same. And you're able to then be free with others. When you're really free, you don't have to wear a wall or a mask. I can tell you about all my faults, and I'm not ashamed or apologetic, because I know you got them too. And I don't have to, because I'm not all, I've got it together, you know. No, I don't. Hallelujah. And I don't have to wear a mask anymore, because Jesus set me free. Amen. I couldn't even do that right. So, we're going to use a few simple processes, because what's going to happen, God is going to infuse grace and life and healing power. Some of you will encounter God in greater ways after today. Some of you may walk out and go, well, I don't know if I feel any different. About 3 days, you go, hey. Sometimes it's like that. 3 days later, you go, wow, this thing, it's gone. Wow, that, I feel different. Something's new. Something's changed. Some of you are going to walk out with a new boldness. You're going to say, wait a minute, now I get who I am. And I don't have to apologize for who I am. You're a child of the King. That's who you am. You're a child of the Most High. Literally, the Bible says in the Spirit, literally, born of God. Who's going to say anything against you if you're born of Him? You have an issue? Talk to my Father. Holly, you have a fault. Amen. But guess what? God is going to help me fix it. I'm on my way. I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm not where I was. And so there's some simple processes, and you may think they're mundane, but I'm going to share it because I want us to all be, you know, what's all for one and one for all. We all want healing. We all want wholeness. And maybe you don't need healing today. That's okay. Maybe you're just learning how to help other people. That's okay. But what I found is when we made a choice to bind up an area of our heart, the only person that can unmake it is us. It's easily done by a proclamation. It's something we speak. Because that's a legal transaction. It's not something you're going to have to confess every day. It's something you do once to unlock the thing, give it to God. It may include repentance. It may just say, you know, I thought this, but no, I'm not doing that anymore, right? I've had so much freedom come to me when I simply said, oh, Lord, I believed a lie. I see it now. I was believing this lie, but from this day forward, I'm going to believe your word, which says. And I've seen vast freedom from one statement like that. Because what just happened? Legally, you closed the access door to the enemy. I've seen people get free. I saw a lady get free from, she had depression for years and years. Years. And I was praying with her, and I said, now as we're praying, and this will happen to some of you today, as we're praying, a phrase might come up over and over and over. He may give it to me, but he may give it to you. And we're praying in the Spirit, and we're asking about depression. Now, depression, she had the type of depression where you just don't want to deal with life, and you lay down, right? You sleep, because, you know, some people watch a movie to escape. Some people go to sleep. Some people go have fun. But the root is, I don't want to deal with this. I can't stand it, so I'm going to check out. Well, she had that. And as we prayed, she said the phrase that kept coming up was, I feel like I'm a burden. I'd never heard that before. I thought that was odd. And I said, well, tell me, honey, did your parents make you feel like a burden? Well, yeah. She said they always kind of intimated that if they hadn't had so many kids, they would be financially able to handle things. And I was I think she said she was the last one. She said, I always felt like it was my fault. That was a burden. I said, do you feel like you're a burden when you're at church? This woman is no lightweight. She's a great saint of God, a leader, brilliant in the Spirit. I'm talking about a great woman of God. You know, great people can still have problems. They just don't tell you. Well, I said, tell me this. When you're at home alone, do you feel like a burden? Yes. You know, that's a spirit. When something just never leaves, it's always bugging you. I used to have a spirit of failure constantly hammering me. And it was ridiculous because I was very successful. It was crazy. But it was a demon. And I had an open door, and it had hooked in. Some of the lies you have believed are as simple to get rid of as breaking the access point. Or one woman said, the landing strip. So we started to pray, and I realized that as a little tiny child, this poor kid, and I'm sure her parents never meant for her to take that on. One thing I've seen, you can have five kids, and one kid will take something one way, another kid will take it another way, one will be mad, one will be glad. It's just, I don't get it. But she had taken it on as a wound, and she had believed the lie that she is a burden to everyone. And this demon was always going to cause depression, because if you don't feel purpose in your life, if you don't feel like you have value, listen, you're going to feel depressed. You have to come to know your value to God and humanity. You have to come to understand your real identity, who you really are, that you're going somewhere to happen. So, we prayed, and I had her say this simple proclamation to shut the door. And it was very simple, something like, Lord, I realize that I believed a lie. I thought that I was a burden, but Lord, I see that that's not what you say. Lord, you say in your word, I'm accepted in the beloved. I was created for a reason, that you love me. I'm here for a purpose, Lord. So right now, she said, from this day, I'm having her repeat after me, blah, blah, blah. And I have to ask the Holy Ghost for the prayer, right? Because what do I know? I don't know people's hearts. So I have her say this prayer. While she's saying the prayer, I see the devil. I see it. It's in her abdominal area, and it's like a black cloud. And I say, in the name of Jesus, you have no legal right. And it goes, phew. I'm telling you, this is the easy way to get people delivered. You can get people delivered so quiet if you just close the door. He's got to have something to hook into. So I'm going to have us go through some stuff, just some simple things that, and they won't, I said all that to say this, not everything will apply to you. I'll say some things, you'll be like, nah, I don't think that's me. But when we do the proclamation, I want us all to be gracious for the sake of maybe the two or three or five that do have that problem. And we're all going to make the proclamation, okay? Because we want everyone free, and we don't want anybody, I don't like that, where somebody's picked out and made to feel, you know, embarrassed. I've seen that. I just absolutely think it's wretched. So we don't do that. So, hallelujah. Do you have anything you want to share before we...
The only thing I'd like to share is, first I want to say, please mute your cell phones. I'm hearing cell phones going off. So take a minute right now and mute your cell phone. Everybody look at your phone. You probably think it's muted, but mute it anyway, because see, God's doing something. And when words are released, it's so typical of the enemy to cause a distraction. And what happens is you hear that beep, and it just pulls you out for half a second. And that half a second, you miss the word.
Yep.
So take a second. And then here's the other thing. Cast all your cares on Jesus right now.
Yes.
He has you here for a purpose. He has you here for a purpose. He called you here today. So some of you are going to be tempted to look at your cell phone because you want to monitor the situation at home. Give the situation to Jesus right now. If you take your hands off the situation, He might be able to get His hands on it. And without you messing with it. So release it. Take a second. I want you all to release your burdens to Jesus right now. Father, I release my burden to You. I lay it at the foot of the cross. I take the great exchange right now. I take Your promises. And I come boldly to the throne of grace to receive everything You have for us. We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are recording today. So if you're in the middle of getting a word and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to forget what this is, what's being said, it's being recorded, so don't worry about that. Okay? You can fill out a form at the back of the table, in a break, or at the end, and we'll make sure you get what you need, okay? So with that, I think you're launching in, right? Is that what you want to do?
Unless you got...
Okay, I'm good.
So I've told her to interrupt me when she gets stuff from the Lord. We don't usually do it that way, but I just really felt like we're not going home till we get everything He's got today. Yay. Eileen's saying yay. Okay, so God gave me some stuff. Forgive me for writing it down, but sometimes when I get lost in the Spirit, I tend to fly like at, 50,000 feet, and I don't deal with things. So I'm going to try to do this. And again, if you have a question or you don't understand, please interrupt me. Okay, so I talked about this picture I saw that looked like an old-fashioned corset where there's these bands tightening around somebody's heart. And it's like that can be a part of your heart. It can be one issue. It can be where something happened to you. And the scripture God gave me is Isaiah 58. Is this not the fast I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? Now, we always think of that as being a devil, but it may be these bands that we've kind of put around our own heart to undo the heavy burden and let the oppressed go free. Those bands are sometimes hidden decisions of the heart that we make over the years because life is hard. Life on earth is not an easy thing. And I would venture to say there's not a person in this room that hasn't had some hit, trauma, probably many. I've had some that I thought were going to take me out for good. And, you know, when it happens to you, you think you're the only one that's ever suffered that bad. Then you start listening to people's stories. You realize... smokers. There's a lot going on. So those bands can be hidden decisions of the heart. Decision our heart makes over the years to protect us. Then he gave me the scripture, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And he showed me, he was talking to me yesterday a lot about open heaven. He was saying, I've opened my heaven to anybody who will. But he said people don't encounter an open heaven because they've still got some locked up stuff. Because, listen, your born-again spirit does hear from God, whether you know it or not. If you try to hear from him in your intellect or in your emotions, you won't hear properly. It doesn't mean God isn't talking. It means we have to learn as a people how to traverse the intellect and the emotional stuff and all our own fleshy stuff to come to a purity of spirit, which is in you if you're born again. Your born-again spirit is how God communicates with you. It's how He speaks. It's where visions come. It's in your spirit, man. You see, and if you're born again, you have the same thing I have. Isn't that amazing? That the kingdom of heaven lives in you. And if you have the Holy Ghost, then you have that communication link with heaven. And same one Jesus did. Same communication link with heaven that Jesus had. That's how He did everything He did. Listen to this scripture. The Son of Man can do... He said... about himself, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. What? He said he can only do those things he sees his Father in heaven doing. How did he see him? In the spirit man. He was a man of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. He said those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. This is a big deal. And I think for centuries the church tried to get people to do Christianity in their flesh. You know, be nicer. Follow the rule. Well, we kind of stink at that. It's good to try, but that's not real holiness. Real holiness was imparted to you from heaven. You didn't earn it, couldn't earn it, never will earn it. It was given to you. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Do you understand that that is your born-again spirit, even if your flesh still stinketh? And so the issue is we need to traverse, get past the flesh into the realm of the spirit. That's where we commune with God, okay? So I didn't mean to go there, but we went. So whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So if God has opened himself, imagine a bridegroom just opening himself to the bride and the bride just being like all burlap bag over her head, run in the bathroom, lock the door because she's got shame. Not a good honeymoon night. But that's what Jesus deals with. We're so broken that we've been told lies, we're afraid of him in a wrong kind of way. There's a good fear of God, but there's a wrong fear of God. Some people have shame or worry or fear or don't understand his forgiveness. I walked in condemnation and guilt for a long time. And Jesus himself stuck his hand on my side and said, come out. And that foul, stinking, lying thing left. You hear me? That was the devil, wasn't it? And it set me free. And then God began to teach me so he could renew my mind to think right. See, freedom, listen, it's worth whatever it takes to get free. Because some of you know that you have a purpose in earth. I don't care if it's small or great, hidden or open, public or not. I don't care about that. There's a reason you're here. You're here for a reason. And God is excited about that. But most people go through life so bound up and locked up with their mask and their wall and their fear and their wound, but they don't have a hope of really moving into the fullness of what God would like them to do. Even the fullness of just worshiping without fear that you're in trouble with God. Come on. So we shared a little bit about how we have to be the one to unbind it, right? Sometimes people come to me at the altar. I can break a lot of stuff at the altar, but there's some things I say, are you ready to say? Are you ready to? And when they're ready to, then I have them repeat after me, and I'll see freedom. Because they've bound it, they need to loose it, right? Joyce Meyer says it this way, you walk through a lot of doors to get bound. You need to walk back through all those same doors. I love Joyce. So God gave me this picture to make a picture of it, but he said it's like if you had a car in your garage and you lock your car and you lock the garage and you lock your house and then you come to the auto mechanic and you say, I want you to fix my car. He says, okay, bring it over. Well, it's in my house. Well, I'm not going to break in your house, and I'm not going to break in your locked garage, and I'm not breaking your lock. You want me to fix it, is you got to open it to me. And that's what God is saying to us. Some people have, out of fear and out of hurt, a locked room in their heart that might know it's just too painful. I can't bear to open it. That's okay. You might not be ready. That's okay. But here's what you can do. Lord, I recognize that I've got this thing and I'm scared to open it and I don't want to be hurt anymore. It's too much for me. I don't even want to remember those memories, right? But Father, I trust you. I'm asking you to give me the grace. Just when I'm with you alone, I don't have to go to humans, don't have to go to Holly, don't have to go to anybody. But when I'm with you alone, give me the grace to unlock, the garage, so to speak. So I talked about the open heaven. He opened it when the veil was torn, but there are layers in our soul that sometimes stop us from encountering the fullness of God. We talked about Matthew 27. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That veil has never been closed and can never in all eternity be closed again. That means that the worst axe murderer on death row, if he gets born again and he calls on God and says, God, I need you. Forgive me. Okay, I'm born again. God, I want to come into the Holy of Holies, according to Hebrews. They're allowed in. Because God, he never shuts the door. It's us. Remember when it said in Isaiah 64:0 that you would rend the heavens? Sometimes we still pray that way. That's okay, I think, but I really believe in Acts 2 that when Jesus released the Holy Spirit and he came like a mighty rushing wind, he tore the heavens open. Why do you think there was such a loud noise? I think he did rend the heavens. The heavens are open completely. He tore them open. They're open. So why are we still struggling? So my opinion, God has torn open the veil, but we need to tear open sort of our veil, our stuff. Now I know you're here on a Saturday because you love the Lord with all your heart. I know I'm talking to saints of God who love God. I know that you're here, you know, if you're born again, that you're perfect in your spirit man, not your flesh, but your spirit man is holy in the image of Christ. You know, the Bible says, put on the new self, that's your born again spirit, which was created after the image of His holiness. Isn't that awesome? I love Oswald. That's the joy of the Lord right there. But in our soul or our flesh, we could almost say there's been a little bit of a mutiny, right? When we believe the lies. Some people are so bound by lies. And I used to be like a ball of yarn. I was so messed up. I had depression. I had despair. I had anger. I was mad at God. Now listen to this, though. I loved Him with all my heart. Those two things coexisted. I was totally sold out. I wasn't a partial Christian. I was praying. I was fasting. I was reading my Bible. I was in church. And yet, I was miserable because I had believed all these lies, because I had been through too much. Some of you are saying, ouch. Excuse me. When you go through too much, we begin to react. It's normal. And this is a day that, you know, if you're really uncomfortable, some people want to run out and just go, I don't want to deal with this. I get it. So in our soul, there's been a bit of a mutiny. Now, if you're saying, well, what's the difference between your soul and spirit? Or is there even a difference? I'm just going to give you the scripture, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word is how you know what's of your born-again spirit and what's of your soulish man, which is your mind, will, and emotions. The Old Testament talks about people who prophesied out of their soul. We still have that today. But in the Old Testament, you got stoned for it. It meant, you know, they had an agenda, they had an opinion, so they would give their doctrine through thus says the Lord, and the Lord didn't thus say. That's very bad stuff. Please don't do that. Okay, so meaning that the soul and the spirit are not the same thing. Your soul contains your emotions. It can contain trauma that you've experienced if you haven't been healed. Sometimes trauma, physical or emotional trauma. Sometimes there's people in this room, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, just bear with us, because there's people who've had trauma so bad they've never been able to tell anyone in their whole life. There's a book, if you've never read it, it's a Boy Called It, where this little boy was, for whatever reason, his mother hated him. Had two other kids she loved for whatever reason, and she was demon-possessed. She would tie him on a leash. He wasn't allowed to eat food. She would lock him in the basement for days. This poor little wretched thing would have to steal food out of the freezer at school and eat frozen sausages. I mean, his life was... He's born again now, and God has done a great work in him. But I said that to say, people in the church suffer things that they can't share. Because in the church, we're so glib. And I'm guilty too. Hallelujah. But I remember going to the church for help and people just saying, well, stand on the word, sister. And I'd be like, I just lost everything in my life. And my dream, and my home, and my, you know, what am I standing on the word for? I didn't even know what they were talking about. Sometimes people don't have that frame of reference. And you know what helped me a lot was when somebody said, well, I don't really know what to say, but I will pray for you. Thank you. Thank you so much. A smug answer is not always a good thing. And I know I'm guilty too, but... So trauma, sometimes we go through trauma and we have to deal with it, right? We don't know how to deal with it. But even little children, this is an amazing thing. You know, I used to not understand, you know, people would talk about fragmentation or multiple personality disorder. And I would just think, well, that's a devil cast it out. Not always the case. Children sometimes live through stuff that they can't handle. I know one soul shared with me that her parents were Satanists, open Satanists. She was, as a little toddler, her little hand held the knife while someone else's hand killed a person. Now you tell me, how do you recover from that if God doesn't do it? And how do you go to church and even share that with everybody freaking out? And so God himself is the author of healing. I don't know why I'm sharing some of that shocking stuff, but you just can't believe what goes on. And so we have to be tender with people. So when we go through enough, what happens is, well, I'll talk a little bit about that fragmentation just so you understand people. And I'm not going to say I have all the solutions for this. But what I saw was, you know, a little kid who's put in a position bad enough, God actually gave us this ability to fantasize about a better world. So a little kid makes up a world to live in where he's the hero or Superman or Spider-Man or, you know, and a kid with enough problems will begin to live in that world and begin to think of it as their reality. I'm not really Steve. I'm really Joseph the Conqueror, you know. Well, that's normal for kids, but some kids, because it's so bad, begin to live in an alternate reality. And it becomes a personality disorder, okay? I don't know why God had me share that. It wasn't on my papers. So one of the things, as we're dragged through some of the stuff we're dragged through, and everybody is, with those hits, our emotions can actually close up because we don't want to be hurt anymore. So one time I was standing at the altar, and God started first showing me about this. This young man came up and he said, you know, I used to hear God all the time. I'm just not hearing him anymore. And I looked and I saw a picture of his heart. And there was this callus, thick, thick callus, just like you'd get on your hand, over his heart. Well, a callus is a protection. It's a shield from a wound. When you're hurt enough, who needs it, right? You know, if there's somebody in your life and they're always saying mean things and hurting you, you're going to try to get away from them. And you're not going to start opening yourself. You're not going to tell them your issues. Because you know they're just going to get you for it, right? So we begin to develop a shield of protection. That's very normal. I actually think God gave us that ability to keep us alive through childhood, some people. Well, as I saw it, I said, oh, here's the problem. Once you have that shield, it closes everything, not just people, but God too. I said, listen, God told us he could circumcise our hearts anew. Now, I know that can mean other things, but I said, would you like, you know, to pray about that? So we prayed about that, and we let God just gently cut away that callus. Well, guess what? Boom, he can hear God again. Is it possible we've protected ourselves too much? Hallelujah. So that protection, it causes us, sometimes we will not be completely honest with even our own spouse or our best friend or, you know, the prayer group or whoever. We hold things back. We put up a wall or a mask because we want to be safe. That's who wants to be hurt, right? That's very normal. I did it for years. I had a mask for years that was so good that even I didn't know I had it. Hello. And the way God showed me was I had a dream of a woman and she looked a certain way. If I remember right, she had like strawberry blonde hair and she looked a certain way. And all of a sudden I saw this crack in her face. And this mask came off, and suddenly she was like blonde hair and had different color eyes and different. I was like, what kind of dream is that? And I'm praying, and all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, I've been wearing a mask all these years. How you doing? I'm doing great. Hallelujah. It wasn't just a confession, it was a wall of protection. Because remember, when I was 5, it's not okay to show your emotions. We don't like weak people in this house, Buster, you know. Seriously. So, it keeps us from being honest. And that's actually, if you need to protect yourself from people, that's okay. I get that. But the problem is you don't ever want to wear a mask with God. God needs to be your closest friend. God is my best friend. Even to the point where if I'm upset, I can tell him. I mean, straight up, I'm ticked. I don't get this. What's up? You are my best friend. Explain it to me. And see, because we're closest friends, I know he gets it. He's not going to be mad at me. He's not going to give me the boot out of heaven. We're buds. We're one. When you come to know your real identity, by the way, you'll come into a oneness with God where you know you are in him. Your born-again spirit is in him, but you just don't know it yet. But when you come to that revelation where you're in him all the time, you never have to worry about being anointed because you're in him. It's not yours, it's his. You never have to worry about being in the flow because he's going to do it. You never have to worry about how to pay the bill because you're in him. I'm telling you, it's a different lifestyle. I'm telling you, it's a better way, but you have to get free enough to come to a place to know who you are, whose you are, and where you really live. We have to live in him, so one with him that even if we have a little difference of opinion. Now, I always start the conversation this way. I know you're always right. I know I'm always the problem, but I am really upset. I want to know what's going on. I don't do that so much anymore, but you know, God, he never falls off the throne. You know, it's like, oh, it's Holly. Hallelujah. And he always, always helps. See, because it's a relationship of faith, it's a relationship. This is not my sermon today, but I just feel like I want to say, God doesn't want you working for him. He wants you with him in relationship, in him. He'll do the works through you. That'll just flow later. Okay, let's talk for a minute about, sometimes we can lose trust. You know, if you've ever been really hammered by somebody, really betrayed by somebody, your trust, you can grow. Now, not everybody has this, but some people have real trust issues. And the problem is, if you have a trust issue, it will often extend to God. Like, well, will he do what they did? He won't. God isn't like any person. So don't let him see your weakness or pain. Hallelujah. So Proverbs 4:23, above all, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Now here's the point I want to make. Your emotions, you may intellectually know something is right or wrong, but your emotions, they don't care. Your emotions don't care what your intellect knows. You may know in your heart it's wrong to have fear about that, but your emotions go, wah! Your emotions, they make their own mind up. You, listen, I used to be ruled by my emotions, but you need to come to a place where you rule them. You tell them what to think, okay? They were made to obey. And you know what they obey? Your words. Your emotions obey your words. If you're constantly stressing and talking about your stress, you're going to be a stressed person. Okay, so you can tell your emotions, oh, everything's great. Oh, okay. Oh, God's going to take care of that bill. Oh, all right. Your emotions are not very bright. So your mind may know something is the wrong thing, yet your emotions cause you to do it. Well, there's some training involved. We have a whole bunch of seats up in front. A person may know it's wrong to fear encountering a certain person, and yet the emotions kick in with irrational fear. Your emotions don't discern between right and wrong like your intellect does, so they make choices to self-protect, even as a child. When I was a little kid, there was a kid named Billy Jackson, about 5 years old, and every time I saw Billy Jackson walking to school, he would just razz me, tease, you know. He would say stuff that wasn't true. Little bitty kid. And some people's reaction would just be to beat him up, but mine was just to take a different route. Avoid, right? And that's what we do, even as adults. Oh, here comes so-and-so. Ah, you know, here comes a hurtful situation. Ah, avoid. Might have heard, sometimes a young woman, you know, she'll walk by construction workers and they say something that's unkind or unclean or you know, lascivious. She'll begin to walk blocks. She sees construction workers 2 blocks ahead. She'll go all walk miles out of her way, right? Well, we can get so good at avoiding stuff. The problem is our emotions. I said that emotions aren't smart enough to make choices. So when you close the door, your emotions don't know the difference between man and God. So if you have closed the door to man, sometimes there's a closed door to trusting God or giving him all your life. You know, sometimes people don't wholly submit to the lordship of Christ because there's a little bit of a trust issue. Well, I'll give him this, and I'll give him this, and I'll give him this, but I'm not giving him that. Right? When I was very young, I said, oh, you can have all the money. You can have lordship over where I work, where I live, but I'm going to pick my own guy, thank you. I don't want you to pick because I just know you won't pick somebody good. That's a recipe for disaster right there. And what was it? A trust issue. If there's an area of your life you haven't wholly given to Him, you're still trying to fix it and manage it and make it work. You're going to control that thing. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking right there at that carpet. But that is a control issue. And what we're saying is, God, I don't really trust you with that because I don't know that you're going to do what's best for me. The best revelation you can ever get is, you know, it happened to me when I was 26. I realized, if you leave this to me, I will screw it up. In the natural realm, I was pretty smart. I was a systems analyst. I could make good decisions. I knew all about logic. But I saw again and again that when I made a decision, it didn't go well. Based on all the logic, the pro and con, the whole thing. But when God made a decision, even if it seemed odd, it always came out right. So hello, at the age of 26, I think everybody should do it. If you haven't done this, I don't care if you're born again. That doesn't mean you've made Him Lord. We have scads of people that are born again that have only given Him a part of their heart, a part of their life, a part of their relationships, a part of their finances, blah, blah, blah. So at the age of 26, I got back down on my knees for the second time and I said, that's it. From this day forward, you're Lord and I'm not. And that means of everything. I'm making one decision today, and that's that I don't make decisions. You make them. You are Lord. And I'll tell you, when you really give God lordship, what happens is you've now put the thing in His jurisdiction and He can bless it. He can fill it. He can bring good things. He can fill it with His glory and do good things. When you hold something back, He says, well, okay, I'll let you run it. I'll let you keep that little garage locked, and sooner or later, you know, it's not that He wants bad things to happen to you, but trust me, when you don't give Him an area, what you've done is you've submitted it to your flesh or the enemy. Sooner or later, that area will clobber, and you'll finally go, oh Lord, won't you help me fix this? See? What you submit to Him, He will rule over and bless and fill and bring glory to His name. Okay, so distrusting man can lead to distrusting God. If you saw your earthly father as a fearful or dangerous or hurtful person, that can translate to seeing your heavenly Father in that light. I have a friend who said her father was the most terrifying person she ever knew. She can remember even being about 2 or 3 and seeing her father show up in a doorway and they would run in terror. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine that. But then when she was an atheist for many years. Well, guess why? Really? That's a father? No thanks. People started talking about the Heavenly Father. She had no frame of reference for that being anything but terrifying. We have to reconfigure our thinking. Being belittled by family or schoolmates may cause little hearts to believe that if we let God see us as we really are, He will find fault too. Some people pretend to God that they've got it all together. He knows. So I'm going to have us do a little proclamation, and again, everybody's going to do this, even if this is not you, even if you don't have trust issues. We're going to do it for the grace of everyone else, okay? So there might be a few who do. I'm going to have you repeat after me, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
If I've had any area of my soul,
or any room in my heart
that I've hidden from myself or from you,
give me the grace and the courage
to willingly open it up to you.
I trust that you will not hurt me.
You are not like man.
You are good.
I trust you.
In Jesus' name.
Another thing God pointed out to me as I was praying for today is that something He dealt with me a few years ago, that when we have false expectations of people, of church, or of God, we are setting ourselves up to be hurt. And what I mean is this. Let's say that a young girl has watched all the romance movies, and so she begins to develop expectations that that's real life. It ain't. Okay? She meets somebody and he's cute. And because he's cute, she thinks that means he's also kind. And because she thinks he's kind, she thinks that life is going to be a certain way. But he doesn't, maybe he's just a little rough. Maybe he's kind of just one of those people that's a little rougher. And this can be men to women, women to men, it doesn't matter. It can be mothers to kids. You may have expectations of your children. Let me tell you something. When you have expectations, then that person may not have that bone in their body. You know? People expect me to be all mushy-gushy. I just don't have it. I love you, but I love you with a different kind of love. I believe that real love is being willing to die for somebody, being willing to pay a price for their good, that they make heaven, that they fulfill their calling, even if it costs me. That's real love. Okay, I like them. You know, mush is great, but honestly, I just don't think that way. Oh, hell, he didn't hug me. Well, I have news for you. I probably forgot. I wasn't raised that way. I don't think that way. If you have that expectation, if you have an expectation, you know, let's say you have an expectation that one of your kids is going to call you every week and, you know, tell you their life story, and they don't call for 6 months, you're going to be hurt. And so sometimes, you know, God dealt with me just recently. I was kind of like, I don't feel like doing it. You know, hell of attitude. He said, you know why? He said, you thought that when you retired from IT, life was going to get easier. Oops. He said, you thought that it wouldn't be as hard to work, but it's harder. Oh, you're right. But then I have a false expectation, don't I? And so you're automatically going to be disappointed, because guess what? It's not reality. So we have to be checking that what we're expecting, especially of people. If you're expecting stuff from your family and they maybe don't have that to give you right now, maybe they will someday. It's okay to believe for them. It's okay to pray for them. But when you start to expect it of them and then maybe even in your heart demand it or feel like, why aren't they doing this? They're in the wrong. No, sweet pea, you are. Oh, did I say that out loud? So expectations of someone to be nurturing or protective, when that person maybe doesn't have that bone in their body, you may have anger, wound, or hurt, but that person may just not, you know, Edgar, he was a little rough around the edges. And we first got married, it was a little stunning, you know, like, ow, you know. But Edgar loved me. I don't, honest to goodness, know any person who's ever been loved like I was loved by that man. Was he rough? Yeah. Did he always say the right thing? Absolutely not. But Edgar would have died for me. Edgar, I never saw anybody love like that man loved, and that's the truth. But he did occasionally say stuff that kind of hurt my feelings. But as I got to know him, you see, you don't always know the person when you first get married. You think you do, but as you know, some people don't let down the mask till after they're married. I'm telling the truth. If you're dating, be careful. All that glitters is not gold. Then you marry them and suddenly the closet door opens and you're like, oh my gosh. So if you, again, this might just be one or two people, but want to do a proclamation to release ourselves. Okay, so I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
If I have had false expectations of people, or even of you, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I release all humans from expectations. I release them so that I don't feel they owe me. Father, I trust you to keep your promises to me. I believe you. You are more than enough for me. You will meet my needs. Emotionally, physically, and spiritually. In Jesus' name. Now here's something neat. When you actually release someone from your expectation and give it to God, often that's when the person changes. Because now they've been released from some control, right? Control ties in the spirit are they can be lethal spiritually. They can bring spiritual death to a situation. When you're trying to make somebody do it, you're actually keeping them from being able to do it. Because you know what? Control wasn't going to go here, but I might as well. Control, the controlling spirit and its counter spirit is the needy person who always looks for someone to control them. Is one of the worst forms of idolatry. Because the controller is saying, I want to be your God. I don't want you to go to God. I want to be God to you, and I want to tell you what to do and how to do it and when to do it and where to do it. because I like to control. It's feeling power, and it's demonic. And the poor person who's needy and messed up, and they're always looking to someone to tell them what to do, okay? They're saying, I want you to be my God. I want you to tell me, because their relationship, their real relationship with God is kind of broken. Idolatry brings a curse and a snare. It can bring sickness. It can bring bondage. It can cause people not to get free in areas where they need to get free. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's talk for a minute about broken dreams. This is probably the single biggest thing we see in the body. I want to say this slow. Do we need a break? Are we?
Yes.
Okay.